Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge Lists and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined ever once again by Letitia Thomas. Yay, T, how are we doing today?
No, we're good. We're good. We are good. To get back into the podcast
I know. Again. This is week four, but audience don't know this. Our first episode's about to go live tomorrow. I know. Delayed messaging.
So exciting.
It is very exciting.
No, I'm very keen to have it feel like tangible, because it felt tangible like the first week we started recording and I was like, yeah, we're getting back into it. Yep. And then, you know, nothing's gone out.
No, it felt like we've done some work, but it just didn't come into fruition.
Yeah. So.
Well, maybe for you. I've been editing in the background for a couple of weeks now. I've been trying some new things in the first app. I can't say it's 4 weeks later, but I'm going to see if people like it from obviously Instagram posts, and see if it continues in episodes like this one in particular. So it could be, this one could be edited in the same vein as the first one was, but we'll just wait and see. We'll get some feedback from that one because I did try something new.
So. Yeah, it's exciting. It's like a new year, try new things.
Yeah.
See how we go.
See how we go. So do you have any kind of things you want to chat about? I think you said before the top that you had some things you wanted to mention to me.
Yeah, I got a couple things. I had like kind of a weird week because there's obviously been public holidays with being Easter.
It's Easter here.
And then I had to catch up on a masterclass I did earlier this week with Danny Philippou. That was really cool. I've got a lot of work to do following that because, yeah, there's some masterclasses that I have to do, and then I have to do a lot of like survey feedback stuff and you know, what I've learned from it and how I'm going to use that in my future projects I'm trying to develop and all that kind of stuff. So there's not really a lot I can say about what I learned, given that it is kind of a closed
series. You can tell me off air because I'm interested to hear a little bit about it.
Yeah, it was more just, I guess, about his journey.
For anyone at home that isn't aware of Danny Philippou, we've mentioned before, he's one of the directors of Talk to Me.
Yeah, one of the brothers. So he wrote it with his co-writing, I think they're friends, but like co-writer. So it was more just about how he got where he's got in his career and then what he's got coming up and how.
Did it help?
Yeah, it was really interesting. And sort of just like, what he's done has helped him now with the career that he's suddenly got in terms of film, not all of his raka-raka stuff that he'd done beforehand. So yeah, it was really interesting. Some of the stuff I'd obviously heard before from people, but it's been a while. So it's nice to kind of hear it again and be like, oh, no, you do know the things.
Did he mention like the fact that his career has kind of blown up basically overnight from this one film that he's done?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he was sort of saying as well, and I guess I can share this because it's not super exclusive or anything, but just how interesting it was when the film came out. Obviously, there was strikes on. Yeah. So he and his brother had to do a hell of a lot of press, which they weren't prepared to do. You
they're
know,
probably not press trained or media trained too well.
No, and junkets are just like, I don't know, I think there are a lot for even people that are used to doing them. But yeah, no, it was interesting. So that's what I've been up to. But there are a couple things I've wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Did you hear one of the statements that Millie Bobby Brown made in an interview?
Was this the one when she was wired into like a...
Nah, it's not about stunts or anything.
Okay, no, I didn't.
I'm going to read it out. So
okay, interesting.
She said, people come up to me and say, you should definitely watch this movie. It would change your life. And I'm like, how long do I have to sit there for? Because my brain and I don't like even sitting for my own movies. Basically, she's sort of a statement saying that like she doesn't like watching movies. She's just not
okay. There's a larger issue there. Mm-hmm. And we're all aware of like Gen Z and their attention span and the way they dissect media is through like short snippet videos like TikTok.
Yeah.
And that's a huge trend at the moment. So I'm not surprised. And also she was brought up as a star. She doesn't see the alternative.
That's the thing. It's like she was brought into an industry that she maybe didn't even want to be in. But this is where I'm like, it scares me. She's producing movies.
I know.
And as a a person that's
damsel
producing movies and getting movies made and all that kind of thing, to not have watched a lot of movies sort of hinders your
it worries me
impact of what you then want to put out into the world.
Absolutely.
As a producer.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is going to be a completely random aside, but it has to do with this, what you just said. So I watched Dawn of the Planet of the Apes last night.
That's a new one, yeah.
I'll get into that
later.
No,
wait. Is it?
No, it's the middle one.
Yeah. Too many ape movies this year.
And I read some production notes on that movie, because I generally do after I watch a movie. I kind of like go into like when, where, what, how it was made a little, just a little bit. And the writers of the second one obviously weren't the same writers as Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And they were like, okay, we've got a time frame to get this done by because the studio wanted it because of the success of Rise. So what they did is they hired out a movie theater, and what they did was they just watched a bunch of different films that they wanted to potentially have influence over the story they were particularly writing. Mm-hmm. And they sat there, they're like, we sat there for like 2 to 3 weeks just watching movie after movie after movie, like to no end, because they're like, everyone thinks this idea of like script writers just have all this time in the world just to watch movies and therefore it like influences their work, but they don't. But we wanted to try a different angle and have that actually happen in our movie. And you can kind of see it on the screen after watching Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and they mentioned some of the movies that actually influenced it. And you're like, that's actually great. Like, that's really good. They're actually taking their craft seriously. And I'm like, yeah, it's Planet of the Apes, whatever. But for something like that, you want it a little bit of care factor in it.
Yeah.
And in this particular one, I thought Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was better than Rise. It just had a bit more care factor there. It was good. But yeah, it relates back to the fact that, like, when you're saying, like, Millie Bobby Brown's doesn't particularly care about the movie she makes, that's a bit unfortunate. I don't know if you got to see, it was a reel on Instagram I saw, and it was like the damsel, like it was a picture from Damsel on the Netflix screen, like, you know how it becomes like the main
thing. Do you mean the wig?
Yes, how it zooms in, it zooms in, it zooms in, and you can see the wig stuck to her forehead.
I saw a lot of like,
I was like, oh my God, how do you not?
Retweets and stuff from like drag queens and their perspective
on wigs.
The craft. Yeah.
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 I'm like, surely you had someone that could possibly edit that out.
Yeah.
The line to post, better.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I get sad, I think, when so much of the industry now is run by people that don't care.
Yeah.
And then you have people that work within it, like Millie Bobby Brown, that's now producing, and you'd hope she cares. Mm. And then she also, you know, someone that doesn't, which is like personally fine. But yeah, it just sort of snowballs this big issue with it. And you see it when, like you said, when people have references for what they want to achieve in their films, and then how it, I don't know, it just has this magic.
Yeah, it does. It has a higher, it's elevated. Mm-hmm. It's slightly elevated, and you can tell the difference. It can be subtle, but you can tell.
Yeah, because it comes from a place of like passion and love, because they're like, oh man, I love this thing so much that I wanted to try and...
I want to have some illusion to it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up this week.
Yeah, okay.
Have you seen all of the stuff surrounding Euphoria?
About how season 3 is going to be delayed and that the actors can go and do work and take jobs for the next year.
Yeah, but have you also seen bits about why it's been delayed and stuff?
Something to do with like 6 apps.
Yeah, so there's different like basically Sam Levinson.
Levinson is still writing it?
He's still writing it.
Yeah.
But they've, I don't know if it got leaked or like what the official story is, but there's storylines like that they pitched that HBO went no thank you.
Oh really?
Have you heard about them?
No, I haven't yet.
So one of them, and I believe this was Sam's idea, was that Rue would become a PI, like a private
detective
eye.
And I was like, because there's gonna be a time jump of like 5 years.
5 years. Yeah. But then Zendaya had an idea as well that's like, what if she was like a surrogate for someone's child?
And I mean, that's like, more plausible.
What
than
is
PI,
going on
but also,
on this show?
Yeah, they don't know what to do with their characters. That's exactly right.
And you know what my thing is also?
Yeah.
To like these sort of men in Hollywood. Guys, hire some writers. It's called a
or if
writer's
you still,
room.
Still wanna, if you still want to head, like lead it.
Yeah.
Consult.
Uh-huh.
Consult.
And hire some people that have some ideas, because that's what happens when
exactly
you write solo.
Right. Yeah,
you get blocked.
Which is clearly what's happened with Sam, because it's been years.
Yeah.
Years.
And it's like,
since
dude, just hire some
two.
Friends, man. Don't you have one friend? I got writing friends.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of other projects.
Yeah.
before this.
We get together when we can't think of what to do with something 100%. And we go, oh, you got any ideas?
Literally, and help, it works please? Better because you go, okay, I didn't think of that, or we can manipulate that idea with a bit of my idea and
you've got people that immediately can go, nah, that's...
Or if you're like, this is... That. I need to know this.
Stop, please. Don't go any further. That idea was good.
Great.
That one, not so much. Forget that. Go here. And it's just,
I don't see Euphoria Season 3 ever coming out.
No. Because they had that weird, like, epilogue episode.
I thought that was in between Seasons 1 and 2. So they had the two Christmas ones, which was like... The individual actors doing their episodes, and was then they moved into Season 2.
One for Rue, one for Jules?
Yes.
I remember very little of it.
I haven't watched Season 2 yet.
I have.
It was fine. Like, I liked it.
Yeah, didn't hold up. I think it sort of started out as this generation's Skins.
Yeah, 100% it was going to be.
And then, I mean, that's the problem with taking so long in productions nowadays, rather than like 22 episode seasons that they just punch out. Mm. Give, you know, however many months in between where they all take a nice break.
Well, here's the thing as well. Like, one, it's been 5 years since Season 2, or it will be by the time it comes out. And the three of the actors have become absolute stars in the past couple of years. Like, Sydney Sweeney, Zendaya already was, but she's even more so now.
Yeah.
And then Jacob.
Elordi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the three of them are just going to be like, I'm not coming back. I could do all these things and become more of a star on elevated platforms. I don't need to do Euphoria anymore.
Yeah, and it kind of got a bit... I mean, it was always like a messy show, but it was tight in the first season. It was like a tight mess.
Yeah.
But then Season 2 kind of just got like a messy
mess. I've heard
mess.
That, and I've seen like who ends up with who and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah, and I don't know. It's so sad.
But I did see that news. I thought it was very funny. The detective PI Rue. Because she's a mess. She's such a mess. She's not going to be able to like...
Remember when she had a little suitcase and her bike in Season 2? And she'd,
oh, I've seen it,
she'd
yeah.
ride on a little push bike and roll a suitcase of drugs along. Drugs.
Yeah. It was good for a time and place, just to accept it was only a 2-season show.
They've cut better things before.
Yeah, exactly so. Right. Yeah. Interesting. So the thing from my week, obviously...
Yeah, sorry.
Mine was a monkey week, monkey madness.
It's a monkey madness year.
I watched like 3 or 4 monkey movies.
Well, that's what's coming out this year.
I know.
You've got Monkey Man.
Godzilla and
Godzilla,
Kong.
Dawn and of the something of the Planet
Kingdom
of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes.
I've never seen any of those movies, which is evidently
I'm about to explain
very clear
in detail to you now. So I went and saw Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire. Jesus Christ! The Friday mornings of the Good Friday. Pretty packed cinema. Obviously, it was a public holiday, so there's a little bit more people in there. But for the morning session, there was quite a few people in there. But that's what it is. It's one of those popcorn flicks where it's a monster mash. It's mostly a monkey movie. So 80% of the movie is from the perspective of Kong featuring Godzilla. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I'm going to do a video review of that, which would have gone up by now already. So just consult that on our TikToks and our Instagram pages. But then after that, I was like, because they showed the trailer for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes during that film. And I was like, oh, I've only seen Rise back in 2011. Like, I don't know the series. Where are we now? Why is Freya Allen in this from The Witcher? What is she doing? What the hell's this? What's going on? And so I went back and I've rewatched Rise of the Planet of the Apes yesterday, and I remembered it I've remembered that movie quite well, and I was like, I just want to watch it again. James Franco as a scientist, so say no more. It's got Tom Felton in it.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like one of his big
things. I think it was he was trying to move into Hollywood from Harry Potter.
Yeah, but now he's just obsessed with still being Draco, so good for him, I guess.
Well, because he never landed anything after Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I wasn't going to be me.
Well, he didn't really.
No, he didn't.
He's done that really cool Uber Eats ad. Check it out. It's actually really funny.
Okay.
But yet again, it's wizard-based.
Of course.
So he's just basically doing the nostalgia drive now. And yeah, it's basically the start of, pretty topical, a pandemic happens to humans as they're trying to increase intelligence in apes. So it's kind of like a twofold thing happens in that movie. And yeah, it was good. I liked it. It's pretty straightforward, pretty by the numbers action film. And then the second one is a lead on 10 years later, where Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is most of humanity has died off from the pandemic that happens. And there's genetically immune humans left. And there's really not many. It's like 1 in 500 humans survived it. And it's all set in San Francisco, the first one and this one as well. But it's like the ruins of San Francisco and it looks really cool. I felt like I was like the scenes are, it feels like I was playing out like The Last of Us or something, like where the grass is all overgrown, the built like iconic buildings from San Francisco and stuff and like across the bridge. And yeah, it's just about like the main monkey who's Caesar, who was James Franco's monkey from the first one. He's like the leader of the monkeys, apes. Ape strong.
Ape. Yeah, I get
strong
really
together. And yeah, it's about his journey. Someone tries to like take over his leadership and yeah, they've versed the humans and all that jazz. It's a good action film as well.
I don't like the idea of, hey, let's make apes more intelligent. Mm. They're scary.
Yeah, you shouldn't watch this movie.
Like, I'll watch it. It'll be fine. Whatever. But like just from a like realistic look into it. Oh, like if I was in that, like no, thank you.
Yeah, they are wildly unpredictable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and maybe it's just because I was forced to watch too many Animal Planet docos. Yeah. And I'm like, these guys are like nuts.
They're nuts.
They'll rip your face off.
Yeah, literally. Are you thinking of that show?
But also just in general, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a third one in this I'll probably get to this week, which is War of the Planet of the Apes, which is kind of a continuation of what happens at the end of Dawn. So obviously they start this full-out war with the humans. And yeah, and then that kind of sets the tone of the third one. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the one that's coming out this year into cinemas, is set 300 years after that first trilogy. This is the start of a new trilogy they're hoping to make. That will then coincide after that trilogy to the original 1968 Planet of the Apes movie with Charlton Heston.
Oh.
Because that's where this has all been prequel.
Oh.
To that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know much about
so any of it. The Charlton Heston one.
Have you seen it?
No, but I know the – I've seen like bits and pieces, like very small scenes. I know the story though. He's on a space mission. He's an astronaut with a couple of other astronauts and they leave space, leave Earth, and they go around wherever they're supposed to go, but they get lost in space and they end up crash landing on this planet.
See, I have heard this because now I'm like, oh, now you said the prequels makes more sense to my brief understanding of –
And there's one small scene in Rise of the Planet of the Apes and it's just a TV screen as it pans across and it says Icarus takes off for space mission to Mars.
Nice.
The planet, the spaceship in Planet of the Apes is called Icarus. So they kind of planted that seed early on.
I like that.
Yeah, it was cool. So it does kind of tie in with the original one there. There was one that was made in like 2001 with Mark Wahlberg just called Planet of the Apes. It's basically a remake of the 1968 one, so we're just gonna disregard that because it's a standalone in the series kind of one,
right?
But Monkey Week,
Monkey Year.
I actually really want to see Monkey Man.
It's not. It's the year of
the dragon.
Yeah,
it's the year of the dragon. All year.
That's yeah.
And even 1 or 2 months next year.
Yeah, Chinese zodiac.
Yeah,
what a concept, Shannon.
It's wild.
Whoa,
I know. It's not the same as our one.
No.
Shall we get into the main topic of today, which everyone will most likely know?
I think so.
From what we've said on the little taglines and stuff.
What is it? The title of this episode. People can see it before they can hear it.
I know. The funniest part is I was on a work call the other day and this podcast got brought up because my team know about it, right? Like, and Jackie, shout out Jackie, mentions, she's like, oh, he only talks about like directors or film series and stuff. You haven't done music yet. And I'm like, Jackie, it's literally our next episode. I was like, if you just wait a week, you'll hear the soundtracks that we're going to cover. So yes, we are doing notable movie soundtracks, not musicals.
No.
What's a musical, Tish?
Oh, no, you don't need to hear me go again on that.
No, you were very, very... pedantic about that before the episode.
I was just like, yeah, we're not doing, yeah, well, it's different.
Yeah, we know what musicals are. It's when the music from drives the story. Yeah. This is music from a movie.
Yeah.
It's very different. Yeah. It's very different. So soundtracks. We're just going to talk about it in a way where basically it's conversational. We're going to be like, mention probably like 10 movie soundtracks that we personally like or have, you know, impact in our lives when we watch a particular movie or, you know, listen to these soundtracks again. But there's plenty more out there that definitely have iconic soundtracks, but we're just going to cover the ones that kind of mean something to us and just kind of chat about them from there. So
I think so.
We'll see how it goes. Did you want to top off the ranks or?
Yeah, sure. I guess I'll just go from one that I remember when I was very little.
Oh, this should be exciting.
This is predominantly the first, but you know, the second, there's a couple bangers in it too. And this is Shrek.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about this.
Quite young when I saw Shrek, yes. I think, because that was 2001. So I was about four when it came out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We didn't have we had a legitimate VHS copy, but maybe we also had like a taped from the TV copy before that. It's really hard to remember for
this
that one.
This is the first era when DVDs were coming out. And I remember Shrek being one of the big titles they were promoting on like DVD. And it's like, if you had the DVD version, oh, you were the coolest kid.
Yeah, I definitely did not. I wasn't even in school. I thought it was, I honestly used to think this movie was like very old. Because my mom talked about it was like a classic. Yeah, but when I was watching it, wasn't.
Yeah, no.
And then I learned like, nope, it was pretty recent at the time. But just that soundtrack, so iconic.
It's look, if we were to break down why it was iconic, is I feel like it was like 95% the Smash Mouth songs.
Yeah, Smash Mouth. There's a Joan Jett one in there.
Is it Bad Hallelujah Reputation?
Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen. Yeah, which was huge in my little kid brain. I was like, whoa.
So poetic. I love when that played that scene. I was like, oh, yeah. So sad.
So tragic.
I was accidentally in love was near the end, I think.
Is Smash that the Mouth as
well.
That's the second one. It opens with accidentally in love.
It does, because
But then they also in the second one have
somebody and he opens the door. I've seen that memed everywhere.
So good.
Somebody.
And then like the second one also had like Holding Out for a Hero.
Yes, which was true.
So
the second one's just as good, I think, in terms of soundtracks and notable soundtracks.
There's so many songs from it that just kind of the first time I was ever hearing these iconic songs was in Shrek.
Yeah.
And so they'll forever be attributed to Shrek in my little kid brain.
Little brain.
Yeah.
I'll go off on my next, I didn't even think about that. I was like, oh, Shrek, that's fantastic. Now I need to add that to my list.
I don't know. I've just got a general list. We're going to
speak. I've got about 10 that I kind of sifted through notable soundtracks and kind of looked through my vinyls as well. I was like, what have I actually bought? Because I was like, I've got a couple. And these are two. I'm going to put these two together. And because I think this movie/soundtrack, they're like, you think about them in synergy, right? Mm-hmm. Like the soundtracks go along with the movies. And what I need to talk about is Guardians of the Galaxy, Awesome Mix, volumes 1 and 2.
Yeah, I had this. I had the CD for the first one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, I don't know. I was a teenager when this one came out. I think I was in grade 10.
I think the movie 11. Came out in 2014.
So maybe I was grade 12.
About 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was like a lot of the first time I was hearing some of these songs. Not all of them, but some of them.
Like Hooked on a Feeling, mm-hmm. Blue Suede. Like, yeah, it's Cherry Bomb, The Runaways.
Yeah.
The first one has a bunch of like those absolute bangers from like the 70s and
80s. I'm Not in Love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm Not in Love. Yeah. There's a bunch in there. Spirit in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This is what you think about when like there's iconic scenes from that first one. And you're like, yep. Okay, cool. And like the character of Star-Lord is basically a character stuck in time, right? Like
it's a very smart way to include music in it. Yeah.
Because he's got that little cassette tape that he gets from his mum, obviously, before he gets abducted.
So sad,
it's
actually.
A great, great story. And that's all he gets to play is that one Awesome Mix volume one that's the only music he's got. And the music that they picked for this particular movie, fantastic. The second one was just as good. Like it's very similar. You've got Mr. Blue Sky by the Electric Light Orchestra, like big mm-hmm. song in that second one. The Chain, Fleetwood Mac.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, I know the song prior to this, but
And obviously the David Hasselhoff outro of the second one.
Yeah.
Fantastic. First one's a little bit better. I think it's a lot stronger and tighter soundtrack than
the
second one. I think
because they didn't have anything to stop them in the first one.
Yeah.
Like they could just pick the songs that they wanted. The second one, it's like, oh, man, we've already got these.
The first one did so well, yeah.
Now how do we follow this up?
Yeah. I didn't put the third one in because it's not a bad soundtrack. It wasn't as memorable. No. And
Big Florence and the Machine at one point.
Yeah, because you remember how Rocket gets the Zune player at I think it's the end of the second one, start of the, they're ending up in the 90s, 2000s kind of music because mm-hmm. he's got a Zune player and that's what's on that. So it's a different era that the music comes from in the third one. It's not as memorable as the first two, but it is pretty strong as well. It's still probably a standout. So the three of them together.
Yeah, it's like, it's a smart way to do it. And I think I watched a movie this morning, I watched High Fidelity this morning. I finished it this morning. And it's a similar way to do it where there's a very like real reason why the music. Obviously in Guardians it was on his thing.
Yeah.
In this one he just talks about soundtracking his life essentially, but like they're mentioning the fact that there is music. It's like diegetic / non-diegetic sound, which I just got really filmy then, sorry.
No, that's good because you're explaining why it works in movies so to the audience.
Non-diegetic sound, to get real explanatory, and if I'm remembering this right, Jesus, is no. when it's like just
background.
Background, it's not ambience. In the film. Yeah. But then diegetic sound is when it's like
it's when the characters,
I'm going to the record player and I'm putting it on and now the music is playing. It comes from in the scene, not after.
Yeah, the characters are also exposed to that music is diegetic.
Yeah.
Which is what the first one was because he was playing the tape.
And
as,
I like... Yeah. I think the films that do the best with music often are ones that have it sort of...
It's part of the characters. Yeah. I agree with that entirely. Yeah. What have you got next?
I don't know. Let's look through some. I had another one from my teen years, which has a really cool soundtrack. And that was The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh yeah,
and it's
true.
Mentioned in the book because they're kids that are very much in. He's getting into music. His friends are teaching him, making him mixtapes, that kind of thing. So it's got a lot of really like iconic sounds. Like it's got Asleep by The Smith. Mm-hmm. It's got New Order. Like Come On Eileen's in it a lot, but
fantastic
I remember
song.
Like the big one I think for this film was during, there's a tunnel scene.
Yeah.
And they play Heroes by David Bowie.
Yes, I know the one. And is that when they're out at the top of the car? Yeah, it's the iconic part of the movie.
And I think, because I was young when this came out, like I was a teenager, but young enough. Some of these songs, it was almost the first time I was hearing them, like in a intentional where I was sitting down and really listening to them. Yep. And I just, it's one of those, it's got some really cool music in it.
Yeah, it meant something when you're watching the film. I haven't seen that film since it came out. I went to the cinema for this.
Really? That's
cool. I
haven't
seen it since and I kind of want to see it again.
I watched it like last year and I forgot just how devastating, like I knew it was devastating and I remember reading the book at one point and just like.
You don't realize how full on it gets in the final act.
And then it's Melanie Lynskey and you're supposed to love her, but in this film it's, For anyone who hasn't seen it, I won't ruin it. But
beautiful film at the same time.
Yeah, beautiful, but also very harrowing. One of those films that it's so raw.
Trigger warnings, definitely.
Yeah, it's such a raw film that it's like very much a gut punch. But I think quite a few of my references in this, especially from being a kid, are kind of gut punches. But yeah.
Next one for
next
me.
One, yeah.
It's a pretty recent one. I only watched this film probably about a year or so ago, but I remember seeing the record at... You know, work, and I was like, it must be good. And when I watched the film, I'm like, yeah, it's a banger. It's The Lost Boys.
I had that in here, not as one of mine per se, because I did sort of just a general
list. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was one that I put up because
Lost Boys, it's
very popular.
Oh, it was very good. It's a lot of like that synth, 80s synth kind of stuff. It's got INXS, Jimmy Barnes doing Good Times, like, and also Laying Down the Law. A bunch of other tracks as well that like play out in fantastic scenes when they're versing like the vampires and that. It's fantastic. And I would highly recommend people just put it on Spotify and listen to it.
It's cool.
It's a really cool soundtrack and definitely encapsulates the era that movie came from.
Yeah.
They made sequels for that movie. Unfortunate. I kind of just like to think that Lost Boys is just one film. Kind of is stuck in time.
Yeah.
Really. And do you remember, have you seen it?
Yeah, I watched it not that long back.
Do you remember the epic sax man that's playing on the beach in one of the early scenes? It's so like, he's like really ripped and sweaty and he's just playing the saxophone out of nowhere. I'm like, this is a vibe. This whole movie, I know exactly what I'm going to get from this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it. Yeah, it's fantastic. So that's why I had to chuck it on because I know it's a recent one. Although it's been out for a while, for me, it kind of stood out for movie soundtracks.
I'll just... casually mentioned before I mentioned a real one, but I wanted to just a quick shout out for if you didn't watch last week's or listen to last week's podcast ep, that's Twilight.
Ah, oh, yes,
soundtrack,
Twilight, yeah.
Banger.
Absolute banger.
If you want to listen to us talk a lot about that, go listen to last week's.
Week.
But I just thought I can't not mention it.
I think we do mention the soundtrack quite a bit.
We did,
in that episode.
We kind of got into it.
I agree with you entirely that soundtrack made that movie fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Paramore.
Yeah.
a lot in that. But also Muse and some other stuff in there. But yeah, banging soundtrack really stands out.
My next one is a very recent one, but it it took over the airwaves, and that's the Barbie soundtrack.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was everywhere.
Yeah. And I know it won some Oscars and stuff with, you know, What Was I Made For and I'm Just Ken, but also like
Billie Eilish,
like Dua Lipa opening it. Like there were, I think Lizzo had one.
Yeah. She was on it as well. Did she quit music this week?
Yeah.
I read somewhere on the Twitter sphere.
I think it's a controversial thing.
I haven't looked up anything to do with her kind of celebrity status and the why, but I just saw she put out this huge rant post saying that she doesn't deserve this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I quit.
The music look into it. I might read it. Everyone out there, but it's got to do with like court dates and lawsuits coming up as well. And might have something to do with it.
I might look it up. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole thing. So if you don't know, go look it up. If you do know,
I think I might know.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
There's a few scandals like last year. But yeah, the Barbie soundtrack just
Definitely stood out.
Took over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it was played nearly everywhere.
It was played everywhere, and everyone for like raced
3-4 months
to get that vinyl.
Yeah, it was a very high selling vinyl for a couple of months there.
So I just thought mention it because it's recent.
It's recent, but it is also a very iconic soundtrack. Yeah. Next one for me is this is the one from my youth. This is one from 1996. So imagine little Shannon watching this at the movies and. This really stuck with me, this soundtrack as well. It's Space Jam, music from and inspired by the motion picture. Now, reasons why it stood out. Fly Like an Eagle, Seal.
Oh, my God. Is that in it?
That's in it. It is so good.
My mum, when I was about, I don't know,
not only that.
13 or 14, got really into Seal.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Maybe the voice was out and she discovered him.
Yeah.
That's. Oh, yeah. She used to be really into him on the voice.
I mean,
She used to be emotionally invested every time someone lost. She'd be like, no, like, it's not fair.
Like, and it's like, also scripted.
Me and my sister would be like, anyway. Okay. But yeah.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah, so obviously Fly Like an Eagle's in it. I Believe I Can Fly by R. Kelly as well. Like, damn. It had a really like urban kind of feel to it as well. What was the other one? It had Salt-N-Pepa was in there as well. Like, it's, you know, Barry Jones White and Chris Rock. Jay-Z as well. It had so many absolute banging songs. So look it up.
I'll have to. I actually haven't seen that movie in full.
You haven't? Don't worry about the new legacy one. Seen it in a lot of
parts. But the original one is It was just so one of those things where you kind of just never caught it properly.
See, it was a perfect movie because it was obviously a kids film. It's Looney Tunes. But it only goes for like 82 minutes or something. It's like the perfect amount of time for an animated film. Like, well, half animated, half human. It was, you know, it keeps you watching for that short, like that's what it should be. Movies like that, animated, shouldn't be 2 hours long.
No,
and for perfect. Sure. It's got all those bangers in there from the 90s R&B, absolute standouts. Yeah, check it out. This is Space Jam. I've got this on vinyl.
Nice.
And I picked this up when I was in America last. I saw it over there because I didn't see it in Australia anywhere, and I picked it up and it's still sealed. I haven't played it. It's still sealed. It's an orange.
That's really cool. Like basketball or just orange?
I think it is orange for the basketball, but yeah, it's still sealed because I was like, all right, I'm holding on to that one. That's really cool because I haven't seen it here yet in Australia. So
no, that's really cool. I have a few. There's some I want to talk about, and I guess I'll wait till the end that were like not necessarily the entire soundtrack, but just like one songs, needle drop that just like blew up.
Yeah.
But one that I love. It's the soundtrack for When Harry Met Sally.
Right. Oh, I haven't listened to
it lots, but I bought it on vinyl because I couldn't get the movie.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, what the hell? This is like, I was looking it up because I had to do a promotional thing for like Valentine's Day. And I was like, yeah, of course, it's a perfect rom-com. And then it like wasn't available. And I was like, what the hell? But there was one soundtrack vinyl left in the company. I didn't know what it looked like.
Yeah.
I couldn't even remember what was on it. But I was like, I think I need this.
Why is there one left?
Don't ask me even why, because I don't think I even knew what was
on it. Yeah.
And it's all Harry Connick Jr., very classic, like jazzy numbers.
Yeah.
But it's sick.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
It's really cool.
It's funny that you mentioned that you picked up a record based on like liking obviously the film and not having a clue what's really on there, because the same thing's kind of happening with me at the moment. Mm-hmm. You're helping me get the soundtrack to Lost.
Here
it's just
it is.
Been released.
Shannon's mentioned Lost. We need to do a tally of how much we mentioned tick, stuff because
If this was a visual, like a video kind of podcast, there'd be a lost counter in the top corner. If we it's like up to 12.
I don't have anything for soundtrack because we're doing movies, but if we were mentioning what we watched this week, I'd have another tick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one? Christian Stewart or Natasha?
Yeah, Leone? I watched a really old movie. That she was in because it got mentioned about
in one corner
bleeding.
Would be Lost, and the other in corner would be Natasha Leone. It would just like be going ping, up. Ping, 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 which one would be higher?
I think I sneak one in nearly every app.
That's wild.
And it's
not by
choice. It's just... It's just a sad reality. I'm not even trying. It's
I'm not even
somehow,
trying anymore.
It's just...
Well, neither am I with Lost, but it just kind of life finds a way. All right, I'm going to get into my next film before completely off the rails the next one I was going to talk about, and this is also when you think about the movie, you think about the soundtrack because it's so kind of like intersected, is Black Panther, the album, the first movie. Absolutely phenomenal soundtrack. I bought this on record because I absolutely just adored it. It's got, you know, Kendrick Lamar, all of the stars. That was that huge, like, standout one. It's got also Anderson .Paak, James Blake, Schoolboy Q. It's got a heap of huge songs that played throughout the movie, but also, like, it had some, original songs, and it was just, like, such a vibe. And also, I can remember, I'm pretty sure there was, like a bonus track on this one that featured... Run the Jewels, because that was from the trailer, and that's what hooked me as well, was one of the songs from Run the Jewels, and I was a little bit into them at the time anyway. And then, when the Black Panther, the album came out, because Kendrick Lamar was the producer for the whole thing.
Right.
So it's basically like an album that he's kind of input the whole thing into. Yeah, and that all together was like, yep, I'm in. You've sold me.
I have a really controversial
you haven't
thing
seen
to
Black
say.
Panther?
No, I've seen it. Mm. I went to the cinemas to see it. Barely remember it.
Yeah, right.
It was like one of those, like, I was tired after work, went to see it, enjoyed it.
Yeah, but it just.
But I've never gone back to watch it.
Yeah.
And it's not by choice. It's
just
not like.
Well, just haven't gone back.
Yeah. And now people bring it up and it's like you now. And I'm
listen to the album. If you get a chance, it might inspire you to watch.
I was looking up like soundtracks that are iconic and it kept coming up.
And you're like,
and I'm like,
I don't know it. No, this one, I've got this one. I loved it.
But yeah, that's another one. I have a lot of like weird ones in here that maybe don't mean a lot to me, but they're just really crazy soundtracks. Juno.
Yeah, I saw that one and that's
I don't listen to it outside of the movie.
No, it's very indie pop alternative. God. That era from like 2006, it just encapsulates that time period perfectly as well. Juno's great. Juno's a great film.
Oh, I love it.
Great soundtrack.
So much.
It wasn't one of my stronger ones, which is why I didn't put it in the list, but I did see it when I was kind of like sifting through a few and I was like, Juno's great.
Most of my strong ones are not like full albums. It's just like
one
needle
or two
drop
songs,
that
yeah.
really.
I mean, a lot of mine are as well. Stuff. Like, you're not going to go through and go, well, the entire of this next album is something that I absolutely love. But like, there's a few songs where you go, oh, I remember that song. I remember where it is in the movie.
Yep.
And that's why it means something to me as well. Or I just really like that song. Mm-hmm. Next one for me is Trainspotting, music from the motion picture.
Oh, I've seen it.
You have seen it?
Don't remember the soundtrack.
UK at that time in the 90s, like, not like obviously all the artists are not English, but like that gritty UK feeling, like it's got like Iggy Pop, it's got New Order, Lou Reed, Pulp. The biggest one that stands out for me is it's basically like the anthem for Trainspotting. The first one is that Underworld, the song Born Slippy, Nux. If you get a chance, get your Spotify out right now. Underworld, Born Slippy, Nux, play that and you'll be like, oh, that's the Trainspotting song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a vibe and it definitely goes along with the Trainspotting
nice.
Movie really well. So I chucked that in because I love it.
I think my other like big one that I sort of remember as well, and I think more of the songs are great in it, but I just can't remember them, was The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a
montage to like Suddenly I See and she's like becoming this like fashionista icon. And that movie was like maybe one of the first adult movies. And I don't mean like inappropriate adult movies, but just like a film for adults that I watched at like 11 maybe.
I know what you mean.
And I just was like, oh my God, I love this. And that's who Meryl Streep is. Now I know why Mum's talking about her. And I'd seen Anne Hathaway when Princess I was very Diaries. Little as Princess Diaries. Princess Diaries, so yeah. I was like, I've seen her in things before. And just that whole next movie was just so iconic.
I really like that movie too. It was obviously had Emily Blunt in like one of her first roles as well.
Yeah.
Who's the male in that? Is it
Simon Baker?
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It is too.
And then obviously Stanley Tucci.
Yes, but he's fantastic in everything he touches. Yeah. Good film. Mm-hmm. I forgot about the soundtrack to that, but yes, yeah, very iconic.
Very that, of the time.
Yeah, very of the time. Next one is definitely of the time for me. I have got Friday, original motion picture soundtrack. So this is a 1996 film written by Ice Cube. And I know you haven't seen it, so you don't have too much to probably input into
this.
That is okay. Very much like your LA style, like hip hop, gangster rap, R&B. Ice Cube's obviously written the movie, but he's put out a lot of input into this as well. So the first song is obviously Friday, Ice Cube. Second song is a huge hit that came out of that soundtrack, which is Dr. Dre, Keep Their Heads Ringin'. And it's got, you know, it's got Cypress Hill. It's got Rose Royce. It's got a bunch of others in there as well. It's that really, really 90s gangster rap hip hop album. And I've been playing it lately as well because I've got it on record. I've got it on record. Someone actually bought this for me for my birthday, random enough. And yeah, I've been playing it lately. And I'm like, that's right. This is awesome. Like if you love your Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg's, Dr. Dre's from the 90s, you're going to love the soundtrack to Friday because – yeah, it's very much of the era. Friday the movie itself is pretty good too. If you get a chance, check that out. It's really, really good. Friday was in there. Random enough, I know, but it's also it's up there with one of the top movie soundtracks of all time. Of all time. I've seen as well, which is surprising. But yeah, cool.
I remember one, and these are like ones very specific from my childhood that just like stuck with me.
Mm.
One of them is it's in a scene in Cheaper by the Dozen, and it's I'm Just a Kid by Simple Plan. And
oh wow, I forgot about just, that song entirely.
Yeah, and it was just one of those ones. Like I was a kid, and it was on, and I was like, yeah, this makes so much sense. And every time I hear that song, part of me thinks of that movie.
Yeah.
There's another one, like, and they're not even like good songs, but it just takes me back to like those movies. And like there's like one in Bridge to Terabithia of like Why Can't We Be Friends. Every time I hear that song, I'm like, oh, it's that scene from Bridge to Terabithia.
It's the Bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah. And then there's a big one is obviously I like when movies, and they don't do it too often anymore, but there would be like a title of the film and then there would be a song that they would use in conjunction, and it just makes so much sense. Like My Girl for My Girl.
Well, yeah.
Brilliant.
Mine Explosion.
But it's just like,
why would you do that?
Makes so much sense. And every time I hear it, I think of that movie, which is.
What's a callback?
Oh.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic.
Such a brutal movie.
Bridge to Terabithia?
Not well.
I have not seen that or My Girl. I haven't seen either.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about My Girl. Like, Bridge to Terabithia was like,
unfortunately,
one,
I know what happens but I haven't seen it.
That movie is truly one of the most perfectly paced and written films. Also, it's acted, it's hilarious. Heartbreaking, but hilarious at times.
Yeah, yeah.
Please find, I think it's on Disney.
I'll be able to, I think it is.
Actually, please watch it. Like, okay. It is one of my, I know it's a childhood film, but watching it as an adult.
It's fine, I'll watch anything, I don't mind.
Watching it as an adult, I'm like, this is just genius. Perfect.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I won't go into doing it, but yeah, there's like, obviously, there's that in that, and then there's also like little songs that they sing.
Yeah.
And I remember the other day I was watching, I don't know, Spicks and Specks was on in the house, like an old episode rerun.
My parents love that show.
Yeah, I love that show.
It's fine. It's good. I like quiz shows, but I'm not very good at it. So I'm like.
Yeah, see, I like being like, whoa, I know this. And there was this one.
I might know one question.
Randomly the other day. And it was like, what did in blah, 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 what did the witch doctor say? And I literally just sat there and I was like,
I know this one.
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ting, ting, wallowing gang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ting, ting, wallowing gang. And like, I turned to my mom, was like, that was from a kid's movie, but I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
And she's like, what?
What did you just do?
And I was
do?
Like, I didn't even know that was the answer to that thing, but like, somehow I just
knew that was the answer
to that. Yeah, it was very weird. Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple more that I'll mention maybe later, but.
Next big one for me, and you're probably like, why hasn't he mentioned this one earlier? Because it's part of my personality. It's the Breakfast Club original motion picture soundtrack.
I had that one in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we think about even just besides our own favorite iconic movie soundtracks, this would stand the test of time as probably nearly everyone's kind of favorite as well.
Hey.
Yeah, Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
Simple Minds.
And that iconic scene where Bender at the end has got his hand and he's just, you know, throwing it out there. It's just a perfect coming-of-age film. Good. It's fantastic. And that scene where they're dancing in the library to Carla DeVito, We Are Not Alone, on the tables together.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And that's because Molly Ringwald was too scared to dance alone. She was.
Oh, really?
She was uncomfortable. It was supposed to be just her, like, character Claire dancing.
Yeah.
But she was, like, just like, self-conscious or whatever. Yeah,
The director everyone went, get up and just dance.
We're all doing it, yeah.
If anything, it worked better.
I think so.
I think it worked better. Yeah. This is one of the only films that was filmed in chronological order that I found out.
I love this film.
Oh, so it's phenomenal.
The first time I watched it, I didn't get it.
Really?
Yeah. I just think I was in that awkward age when I watched it. And I was like, but it's just all in the one room. Like I was too young just yet to get the point of being at that age.
Yeah.
Because I think I was like maybe 3 years sort of younger than the characters were supposed to be in
I think I was about 15, 16 when I was, I was like, oh, yeah, I get it.
I was like, I get what. And then I watched it a second time.
Yeah.
And it was like watching a completely different movie. I was like, oh, I get it.
Oh, I get this now.
It was it's a weird one for me just to watch and be like, meh. Yeah. And then did a rewatch.
And I was like, oh. It's funny how that happens sometimes when you rewatch. You're like, okay, now I appreciate this so much in a different way. So the soundtrack is so standout and it's one of my top four films.
Actually, speaking of, and this is not, it's loosely related by, you know, film reference within film reference. And it's not one that I think is iconic because I like it. I don't think it's one that's iconic because it's like the greatest thing and deserves to necessarily be on this list. But it's one that I'm going to put in because, and I didn't even write it down, but you've just reminded me that haunts me.
Yeah.
And it's Pitch Perfect.
Oh my God.
Because they do versions of so many songs.
Acapella.
And it was the first time I'd heard some songs, right? So every time like a song will come on the radio, I'm flashback to that movie. Like,
no, it's the Pitch Perfect.
And I'm like, no. That first. And it is just haunting. Like, can't get away from it. It's a guilty pleasure movie of mine. Yeah,
the first movie I actually really like.
Yeah, no, guilty pleasure. I related to that film more than most of the age when I saw
it. I don't understand the main character not liking movies, but besides that, everything was fine. Either.
I'm like,
what do you mean?
I remember watching it as a kid.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid when it came out. And
I think it was like 2011 as well.
And I was like, I get this character almost exclusively, except for that bit.
Except for the part where she's like,
I don't like movies.
I don't like movies.
And I'm like,
you don't like some movies? No, I don't like movies. What do you mean? And the guy's like, what do you mean?
Yeah. And that bit confused me. But apart from that,
it's a great film.
I was also a loser doing perfect musical theater.
When you said guilty pleasure though.
Like, oh yeah.
It's not amazing in terms of like anything, but like you very much enjoy watching it.
Yeah. And you get shamed for mentioning it.
Yeah, we like, are about to.
Like what?
When this goes live. The second and third one though.
Weak.
No, let's just disregard they were made. But the first one
The first one. Yeah. I was.
Where they have that acapella off in the
riff off.
The riff off in the swimming pool.
Yeah, there's a pinwheel on that, and I think this one's a cheeky mention. And jeez, I'm really
keep going.
I'm really letting people know that I've seen this movie a lot. There's a pinwheel, and they spin it.
Yeah, I know.
To do categories, and there's one which is cheeky, and it's songs ruined by Glee.
I didn't pick up on that.
And I never watched Glee,
I've watched Glee quite a bit.
No, couldn't stand Glee, but Pitch Perfect.
You didn't like Glee?
I never really watched much of it.
I think
it wasn't sort of allowed to be on in my house.
Yeah, I think everyone has the idea that Glee is like this absolutely awful, cheesy.
I've watched a couple episodes. It is pretty
TV show.
Awful cheesy.
But it's not just that. It's so much more.
Yeah, you have watched a lot of those like guilty pleasure girl TV shows at the time.
Yeah.
More than me, I think.
I'm rewatching One Tree Hill at the moment. It just got added to Stan. Of course I'm going to rewatch it. I rewatched it for one particular reason, but I also just like it.
What reason was that, Shannon?
They added Sophia Bush into it after the second episode.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, who is she playing again?
Brooke.
Brooke, that's right.
To make a love triangle because they realized after the first ep there's only two girls, so it's like, well, they're just going to swap.
Yeah, there's the blonde. Peyton
and Haley was the friend of Chad Michael Murray's, but they
became the
swapped brothers.
Yeah.
But there needed to be a love triangle. So Brooke came into it.
Yeah.
After the first app. So she's not in the pilot.
Watched a lot of this. Yeah. When I was a teenager, because we watched the pilot in school, and then all of my friends in that class, we all individually went home and secretly watched it. And then we all 100%. Secretly admitted, sort of outed ourselves to each other
that we'd gone and watched it.
And I went, and I was the last person. I went, me too. And I'd seen more than any of them. and then I think I stopped watching it because I couldn't find the download site anymore.
That's on Stan. You've got my login. If you're on a recapture your youth.
There's a lot of other shows I need to watch.
Yeah, I'm only doing an episode here and there.
That I was planning on starting, and I can't think what it's called. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll move on. We'll work out that out.
We'll move on back to the topic of this episode.
Is it my next one?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll go again just in case. You probably got a couple more than me anyway. I've only got two left.
I've got some I can mention that it's okay. Like singles, yeah.
So the next one for me that's iconic is Baby Driver, music from the motion picture.
I was going to mention this, and then I completely forgot. I saw this in cinemas. I quite enjoyed it.
I loved it. Yeah.
People... on it now, but I quite enjoyed it at the time.
Is it because of the Kevin Spacey angle? If we disregard that, it's a fantastic film.
But he was in it.
That's probably a good thing. This is a really strong soundtrack, and it's really based in jazz and blues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, throughout the entire thing, it's got that like jazzy kind of soundtrack in the background. It starts off with a really strong opening track with Bell Bottoms by the John Spencer Blues Explosion. Another notable song which happens halfway through the movie, which the action takes place alongside the song when the song has like a beat, something happens. And that's that Tequila by Button Down Brass.
That's right.
Tequila. And the action goes along to that particular. So it's got a really big power play in this in the soundtrack. And it's another one with Run the Jewels in it as well, Chase Me with Danger Mouse. Really good soundtrack. Would definitely recommend checking this out. And this also, fun fact, is... if I ever have a car that I want to get, there is the main car that the baby has, the main character, is a Subaru WRX STI from about 03 to 05. His is red. I want mine in the royal blue color. But that's half the reason I went to watch this film. I saw it and I was like, oh, damn, he's got the car I want. I'm going to watch it.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That's cool. Great film.
No, so. I really do love that. I'm trying to think what I've got left. There's ones that I find that are interesting when movies are soundtracked exclusively by a particular artist.
Yeah.
There's one that I will briefly mention and move on, which is Harold and Maude, exclusively Cat Stevens.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
that. And then, you know, there's one that I watched not too recently.
Mm.
And this one's interesting. And it's Saturday Night Fever by the Bee Gees.
Yes, I did see that one pop up.
Because you see the cover.
Yep.
And, you know, the Bee Gees. So you think it's going to be this, like, sorry, I just knocked everything over. You think this is going to be this, like, feel-good movie?
Yeah. Have you seen the film?
Mm.
It's gritty.
Not a feel-good.
It's not a feel-good film at all.
He's not a feel-good guy.
He's not a good dude at all.
Yeah, it's like, Oh, you're like, whoa. And I have the record of this. It's not mine. It was in a collection of stuff that I took that belonged to my mom. And I said to her, I was like, hey, have you seen Saturday Night Fever? She's like, yeah, of course I've seen Saturday Night Fever.
She's like, I've got the
soundtrack. I'm like, I know, but have you seen it? And I sort of described a bit and she goes, oh, maybe I never did. Because she was like, yeah, I would have been, you know, X amount of age when it came out. No. And I was like, yeah, you haven't seen this, Mum. And
no.
Yeah.
I watched this
fair
at 15.
Warning if you want to.
It was on... I had a small TV in my room when I was about 15, 16. I got one because I had a spare at home. They got a new one. They didn't. I took it into my room. It was on one late night on one of the like Channel 9 or something like past 11 p.m. It was on.
Yeah, it had to be back then.
All right. Well, I'm gonna watch this. I watched this in entirety, and you're absolutely correct. It's not really aimed at a younger audience.
It's not what you think it is.
No, yeah. not what you expect it to from the title. But the music's fantastic.
Fantastic. Speeches.
It's Bee Gees.
So. But yeah, just like whoa.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, and I think I've just like mentioned ones that are iconic that even maybe I haven't always seen, like, you know, The Bodyguard. Never seen The Bodyguard, but I Will Always Love You.
Everyone knows that scene.
Everyone knows that scene.
That scene.
Because it defined a generation of people.
100%.
And like that stuff's cool. You've got like Titanic, My Heart Will Go On.
Oh yeah, but like one song.
One song.
It's those one songs.
But still that in that soundtrack.
You identify as the movie
itself. The
whole
movie.
Yeah.
Like Dirty Dancing, Time of My Life.
Mm.
Everyone's wedding song.
What's the Footloose song?
Footloose?
Nailed it. Okay.
I'm like, is that the one you're talking about?
It's with Kevin Bacon.
The title track.
The title track. Well, if you think about a movie,
yeah,
Footloose.
I'm trying to think who did, who sung that. It's escaped me. Anyway,
yeah, look, I but do like know. That kind of thing.
Pretty Woman from Pretty Woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you've not seen, and
I know. What's the other one? Runaway Bride. I haven't seen either.
Who cares
of them.
About Runaway Bride? I mean, Pretty Woman, but that song, that movie. Oh, there's a couple from that. Actually, as well, but
yeah,
specifically that. And then my other one that I've mentioned, because I think it's a fantastic film, and not a lot of people know that there's a film that goes along with this, Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
I thought you were going to say Purple Rain.
Nah, was written for the film 9 to 5.
Really?
It's a title track,
yeah,
like the opening.
I just thought it was a song.
Mm-mm.
When I was looking things up, the same thing happened with the Beatles.
Yeah.
Like Help Me, and there was another one I can't remember the name of, but there was like two movies they made, and it was like albums based on, like basically the same name. I was like, I thought they were just albums. I didn't know they had movies
as
well.
No, it's cool. But if you've not seen 9 to 5, I think it's on maybe out there on Disney Plus. Now, it wasn't for a long time, but my grandma had it and said, yeah, you can watch it. And I took it home to watch with my mom.
Mm.
And then I was a young teen, I remember watching it with mom. And I'm like, does grandma remember everything that's in this? It's not like raunchy, but just like they're smoking a bit of weed. This happens. I'm like, does grandma know that she just let her grandkids watch this?
She's probably fine with it.
But yeah, it's so much fun. Dolly Parton's in it, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and they all work at this office basically, and they work for the boss who's like a sleaze, and Dolly Parton's like new to the office, and you know they're all like, oh, she's probably just sleeping with the blah blah blah, blah. But then you know eventually there comes, it's not the fact, they all start hanging out and they're like, you know what, F the boss, because you know they get a little high one night and they sort of dream up all these scenarios where they kill their boss.
Then
sort of next morning.
I feel like that premise has been done a few times. Oh,
have we put rat poison in?
Yeah.
And it's just those three idiots trying to deal with what may or may not have just occurred. And it's so funny.
Okay.
It's such a solid movie.
Yeah, right.
And like the comedic geniuses.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Worth watching. But I think that's kind of.
I have one left.
I can't think of many more, but what do you got left?
My last one. The movie was unfortunately average. I think the trailer really oversold the film itself, but in terms of the soundtrack, love it. Absolutely love it. It's Suicide Squad, the album from 2016.
Is this
the first one? Not the Suicide Squad, the first one, Suicide Squad.
Soundtrack being iconic, but I can't think of
it's got Skrillex, Purple Lamborghini. It's got Lil Wayne, like Wiz Khalifa, Imagine Dragons doing Sucker for Pain. It's got 21 Pilots doing Heathens, which was massive.
I remember
at the
that,
time.
Yeah.
It's also got Panic at the Disco covering Bohemian Rhapsody. It's got Eminem doing Without Me, Skylar Grey, Wreck Havoc. It's got massive amounts of song. Clean's Clearwater is in there as
just
well.
Like thrown in there
randomly. Huge bangers from around that 2016 era, and I'm so thankful that at least something good came out of that film, because by God, was that a letdown when I saw that in cinemas, because the trailer sold it so well. I remember it had a Queen song playing over the top of the trailer, and I was like, yep, I'm in for this, and then just poor editing. And I don't think it was the director. I think it was one of those situations where WB got into it and kind of got its claws into it and just created this average movie.
Yeah, because I went to see this because it was doing so poorly. I was like, I gotta see this.
Average?
And there's moments in this film that are genius.
Yeah.
Like scenes and stuff that you're like on its own, you're like, well, that's cool. Yeah. And then it cuts to the next bit and you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cut awfully. Mm. But that's why we got Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
So we got something good out of it, because she obviously did a couple more versions after that, and she's fantastic
as
Harley
Quinn.
She's amazing,
yeah. I mean, she's incredible in everything.
Yeah,
she's
a phenomenal actress.
Oh no, it's more a score. I was going to say we didn't talk about Babylon, but that's more a score than it is a soundtrack. So
Yeah. I Yeah, Justin Hurwitz did a phenomenal score in Babylon. I still play that song sometimes. You know, the main theme yeah. one. It just gets me going. It gets me in a good mood. And yeah, but this one in particular, I've got the record of this as well. It 21 Pilots, it introduced me to them. I now absolutely love them as a band. Listen to all their albums. So it was a great way to get introduced to a few other things from around that era that I wasn't aware of. Obviously huge things like Eminem's on there as well. Panic at the Disco. Fantastic album to end on.
Oh, I forgot one more.
Okay.
Single song. But also the whole thing was kind of iconic. Almost Famous. Do you ever see that?
Oh, I have seen it once. Mm. But many years ago.
Yeah.
Like I'd say 10 plus.
I saw it a while ago. I don't really remember too much. But they have the Tiny Dancer song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know that song.
And it's sort of just like, I know people talk about that scene, I think. Mm. It's one of those ones.
I need to see it again. There is an extended version that is being released in stores.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you get like the director's cut version apparently. So I kind of want to pick that up and see that. And
I think it's 4K now.
Yeah, that's the version.
Mm-hmm.
It's the director's cut version. I want to pick that up. I think that's about it.
I think that's about it. We talked about a few. But as always, thanks so much for listening. Thank you for tuning back in for this year because by the time this goes out, you'll have had our first episode.
Yes.
So thank you in advance. I'm going to put out there that you listen.
You're up to episode 4. Thank you, guys.
If you're enjoying this podcast, please give it a follow because it does help. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can always find us on Twitter and Instagram @BingeLists. Or email us at bingelistandboxofficehits@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear more from you this year. We very much want to make things that you want to listen to.
Yep.
We're trying to get like a little bit of audience engagement, I guess, just so that...
Yeah, more will come once we start
like I said,
episodes
you guys,
going live.
You guys get to tell us what you want to hear and see each week and we will do our best to throw them in here and there and give you something that you want to hear because we aren't just doing it for us.
No. No, this is for you guys. You listen and you help us make it and we're happy to keep making it. So thank you so much, guys, and we'll see you next week.
And if you've got any ones that we missed, let us know.
Email in. Message us.
Let us know. We'll message you back.
Yep.
And thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.